I would appreciate an interest in your prayers this morning, the time that I stand before you. Yesterday, we had a great service, Lord blessed, in Albuquerque. Sister Nikki Lowry was there and several of her family, and that's been a real blessing. Normally, I'm able to get a direct flight, the last flight out, from Albuquerque to Baltimore, and I'm blessed to be able to sleep on a plane most of the time. And when I get here, it's not that late, and I'm pretty refreshed. But that wasn't the case yesterday. Didn't have a direct flight. In fact, it went way out of the way to Houston. And I sent Brother Mike Rogers a text. He refers to it as the great state of Texas. I said, I'm in your great state for about 45 minutes. And then came on to Baltimore. So a little bit all quite with it this morning. It took two cups of coffee this morning for me to get going. So ask that you pray the Lord would bless us for a little while this morning. The song that we just sang describes the lot of us individually. And on a Wednesday night, we went through several songs that highlight the conflict that the Christian has. One minute we're up on the mountaintop, next minute we're down in the valley. Anybody here ever relate to that?
Amen.
Wouldn't you like to be on the mountaintop all the time? That's just not realistic for the life of the Christian. But we do have those seasons that we're on the mountaintop, and what a blessing that that is. We don't deserve to be on the mountaintop at all.
Amen.
We really don't. We don't deserve it at all. There's a story in 2 Samuel. I preached on this, I think, the first year that I came here. So it's been so long that many of you probably won't remember it, and I think maybe once or twice since then. But 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9. To give you just a little bit of the history of this individual that is being referred to here, it's hard for me to say his name, but Mephibosheth. If you pronounce it differently, that's fine. But he was brought up in a royal family. His granddad was King Saul. His dad was the prince Jonathan. And so he grew up, he was born into a position of royalty. He was born in a royal setting, in a royal home. Saul, as you'll remember, he was jealous of David, and he spent much of his life, even though he had the position of king, he spent much of his life pursuing David, the life of David, because he was jealous with David. By the way, jealousy will destroy your life. It destroyed Saul's life. Saul couldn't even enjoy a lot of the blessings that God had given him because of the jealousy that he had in his life. If you experience jealousy in your life, you run, take that to the Lord, and you ask the Lord to deal with it and to take it away from you, because it won't ruin the life of those around you. It'll ruin your life. And that's what it did with Saul. Saul just couldn't be happy unless David's life was taken, because he was so jealous of him. They said people around recognized David, and they said Saul's slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. And that just fueled the fire all the more with Saul. And so much of David's life was chased by Saul desiring to take his life. But it was unique how that God blessed in this. Saul's son was named Jonathan, and Jonathan was a godly man, and the Lord knitted the heart of David and Saul's son Jonathan, and they became the very best of friends. Now, you wouldn't think that would be the case, because it was Jonathan's dad that was trying to take David's life, and that he was in pursuit. But oftentimes, Jonathan would intercede on behalf of David, and he'd tell him, Dad's after you, you better get out of town, or Dad's after you, you better be on guard. And so Jonathan and David, their hearts became knitted together, even though his dad, Saul, was still after David's life. And David had an opportunity to slay Saul at one point, and yet he said numerous times, he said, "I'll not touch the Lord's anointed." And in fact, after Saul's life was taken, after he gave his life on falling down on a sword, and people began to claim that they had taken the life of Saul, David said, "That's not anything that you ought to boast in." In fact, he said, "No one should touch the Lord's anointed." So we ought to take heed to that. We ought to take consideration of what he says right there. He said, Saul had died, and his son Jonathan died in battle. And when that happened, Jonathan had a little 5-year-old boy. Now, children are such a blessing. I'm so thankful for these kids and all that God has blessed us with, and thankful for all the children. But this little 5-year-old boy, Mephibosheth, had grown up in the king's palace. He had all the provisions of the king. His granddad was king, his dad was prince, and he had it all, born into wealth. You've heard some folks say, well, they were born with a silver or gold spoon in their mouth. Well, this was the case of Mephibosheth. He was born into that setting, into that role. But when his granddad died, and by the way, that can change real quick. You see somebody that maybe they're on top of the mountain one minute. It doesn't take very long for things to change. And sadly, it did change for Mephibosheth right here. Mephibosheth was 5 years old. And it said that there was a nurse, I guess it would be like a nanny, but there was a nurse that cared for him, and maybe someone that cared for him in the home. And when the news got out that his granddad had died, and when his dad, when Jonathan's life was taken, when that happened, the nurse began to fear for the life of this 5-year-old grandson. And so she quickly picks up this child, and she begins to run, to flee to a place of safety where the grandchild could be spared. And it says in chapter 4 that as she was fleeing, as she was running to a place of safety, he's 5 years old, so I mean it was probably a challenge for her to carry a 5-year-old son. But as she was carrying this 5-year-old son, she dropped him. And when she dropped him, he became paralyzed from his waist down, permanently. Now keep in mind, he'd lost his granddad, he'd lost his dad, and now he's paralyzed from his waist down. He probably had heard stories about how that his granddad was pursuing the life of David, King David. David was now the king. He probably had heard stories about how that his granddad had spent much of his life and much of his time attempting to pursue the life of who now is King David. And he probably lived in a measure of fear, if not discouragement. He didn't have his granddad, didn't have his dad, didn't have the setting that he grew up in, and now on top of that, he's paralyzed from his waist down. No doubt, he probably had some seasons of despair, maybe even some seasons of depression along the way, and I think you'll see that here in just a minute. Anybody relate to that? You ever have any seasons like that? Well, I'm sure this little boy did, this little 5-year-old boy. Didn't have his family, didn't have his health, couldn't get out and make a living, couldn't do the things that other people could do, couldn't join in and play the other games that the kids played, couldn't associate with them in the same manner that other folks did. And I'm sure that he spent a lot of his life experiencing those challenges. And I want you to look. We believe, as old Baptist, in God's amazing grace. And you're going to see an example of grace in this story. And you're going to see how that we ourselves relate more to this young fellow Mephibosheth than we do to the other characters that are highlighted here in the Scriptures. You'll see an example of what grace is. And you'll see the example of how that grace was shown upon this individual who was undeserving, who was unable to help himself, who was really unworthy, and yet you're going to see some kindness that was shown upon this individual. And that's exactly what the Lord did for us, and that's exactly what the Lord does for us each and every day. Yes, I believe we're saved by grace eternally. Absolutely. I rejoice in that. But did you know we experience God's grace every day? We experience God's grace when we don't get what we deserve. You say, well, I want what I deserve. I don't. I want what's coming to me. I don't. And the only reason I don't get it is because of grace. And the only reason that you don't get it is because of grace. Now we're going to see an example of God's amazing grace that's shown. Years later, it's amazing how that the Lord can stir up your thinking. Now, I'm not an absoluter. I believe in the sovereignty of God, but I'm not an absoluter. But I do believe that God works in our lives and He can stir up our thinking. And so, probably in the wee hours of the night, David awoke and he began to think, you know, God has blessed me so much. God has given me the role of king that I didn't deserve. I'm not even capable of leading so great a people. God's blessed me with this tremendous kingdom. He's blessed me in so many, many ways. By the way, this is right before the sin of Uriah and Bathsheba, just in the next couple of chapters. His whole world changes. The bottom falls out in the next couple of chapters. But David's going along and he's thinking, you know, Jonathan and I were best friends. You ever had a best friend? That is a great blessing from the Lord. David said, Jonathan and I were best friends. And he said, we actually had a covenant that between the two of us that we would agree to do good for each other and each other's family as long as they were around. And so David's going along years later, and he's thinking in his own mind, he's thinking, God has blessed me so much. He's bestowed so much upon me. And he said, I wonder if there's anybody left of the house of Saul. Now, I can sort of understand what he's saying right there. When we used to go up into the Northeast and visit those old meeting houses up there, oftentimes you'd wonder, is there anybody left? Used to go to church here when they were young. And oftentimes we would meet people that were now in their 80s and 90s, and they would say, when I was a little boy or a little girl, we went to church there, and there were big meetings, and God blessed in a mighty way. And it was like finding a gold nugget, because their stories were so rich, and they were such a blessing. David said, God's blessed me so much. Jonathan and I were blessed to be such good friends that he said, I wonder if there's anybody left of the house of Saul or the house of Jonathan. Is there any of his posterity left? He says, is there anybody left that I might be able to show kindness? If you'll notice, he doesn't say for Saul's sake, but he says for Jonathan's sake. He says that I might be able to show kindness for Jonathan's sake. And he says, and there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And this is chapter 9 of 2 Samuel. And the king said, King David said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I might show kindness of God unto him? He says to this servant that was left of Saul, Ziba, he says, do you know of any, is there anybody still living? Is there any left of the house of Saul that I might be able to show kindness unto him for Jonathan's sake? That I could show some measure of kindness for Jonathan's sake. In the memory of Jonathan, I'll show some measure of kindness. And Ziba answered and said unto the king, Jonathan does have a son. There's one that's left. There's one that's still living. But his son is lame on his feet. Now maybe they were thinking that David was going to appoint him to some role or some position of authority. And he just throws that out there. Yes, he's got a son, but he's really not of a whole lot of benefit. He's got a son, but he really is sort of helpless. He's got a son, but this son is lame on his feet. Now, you remember that the reason that he is because he was dropped when the nurse was carrying him, and he had been that way since he was 5 years old. Now, I know that there was a season of time that lapsed between this, because it later on tells us that Mephibosheth now has a son of his own. So, no, it was at least 15 or 20 years that had spanned between that time when he was 5 years old. But he says, David says, is there any left? And here the servant comes up and he says, yes, there's one. There's one. And he says, and the king said unto him, he said, where is he? He says, and the servant said unto him, behold, he is in the house of Makar, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. Then the king said, the king sent and fetched him out of the house of Makar. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, it says that he fell on his face. Now, for just a minute, think about how Mephibosheth must have felt when the report went out from the servants that the king wants to see you. He began to tremble because he knew that his granddad had gone after the life of who is now the king. And he probably began to think, I'm the only one left, and they're going to do away with me, and that's what I deserve because I'm the grandson of this ungodly king. And he probably began to fear, why is it that the king wants to see me? He didn't know what the mind of David was at that time when he was sent for. And he probably felt like that his days were numbered. And that David, being king and at his command, his life could be taken. Look at what happens. It says, then the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto him, and it says he fell on his face. Do you know that when Job was going through all the trials that he was going through with, Job thought, I'd like to be able to sit down and talk to the Lord about this. I feel like that I've just not been dealt a fair hand. That's not what Job said. I'm paraphrasing that. For those of you that excuse that reference. But he wanted to question God. And he said, I'd like to just be able to talk to God and see why it is that my life has been so hard, that my road has been so difficult, that there have been so many struggles in my life. And I'd like to be able to talk to God about that. Have you ever felt like Job? Well, look at what happened. Lord said, Job, you gird up yourself. get ready. We're going to have a conversation. And before he gave Job an opportunity to speak, he goes down a whole list, and you can read it, and I'm sure you'll get a whole lot more in detail. He says, Job, by the way, where were you when I created this earth? Job, where were you when I created light and when I created the sea and the land and all that's therein? Where were you? Job, who are you to question me? Basically is what he's saying. And all of a sudden, when Job saw that great gulf that was between Job and God, he no longer said, I think I want to have a council session with God. He put his hand over his mouth. Mephibosheth, when he was brought before the king, it says that he fell down on his face and he did reverence. Did you know that as children of God before a righteous and holy God who's completely just and completely perfect, did you know that that's really all that we are justified to do? Is fall down before his face and give him reverence. We might say, Lord, I don't understand the situation. Lord, I'd even like for you to deliver me if you will. But Lord, you're the sovereign King of kings and Lord of lords. And if this is my lot in life, then Lord, would you strengthen me to be able to bear the burden that I have? Mephibosheth, all he could do, he knew he didn't have any merit to be able to stand before God and say, or the king and say, look how good I am. Look how worthy I am. Look what all I've accomplished. Mephibosheth couldn't do anything. When he was brought before the king, all that Mephibosheth could do is fall down and give reverence to God. And that's what we can do. In our situation, we don't deserve to come before the king. We're not worthy to come before the king. He's so great. We're such sinners that all we can do is come before him and give him reverence as Mephibosheth did right here. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered and said, behold thy servant. That's our plea and that's our cry as the Christian. That you're the King of kings and Lord of lords and we're but a servant even at that, Lord. And we delight if we're called to be a servant and able to be a servant of the King of kings. Mephibosheth was saying in what his response to David is that, listen, David, you're the king. I acknowledge that. I recognize that. I'm here to serve you. I'm but a servant. I don't have much ability. I don't have any ability, but any thoughts that I have would be towards serving you as the King of kings and the high king. And David said unto him, I know that Mephibosheth was stricken with fear. Do God's people sometimes have fear? Yeah, we do. Is fear a reality? Yeah, it is. You talk to James and Jasmine and on first part of the week, they were experiencing it. But did you know that God delights to calm our fear? And look at how Mephibosheth, who was stricken with fear, David knew he was in fear. David said, Mephibosheth, fear not. I didn't bring you here to slay you. I didn't bring you here to make it harder on you. He says, that fear can be taken away. I like it when the Lord tells us to fear not. I do. He says, fear not. He said, I didn't bring you here to do away with you. He says, fear not, for I will surely show kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. He says, Mephibosheth, I'm going to show kindness to you because of who your father was. Because your father was Jonathan. Jonathan was my friend. And I'm going to show kindness to you because of Jonathan's sake. Did you know why God shows kindness to us? It's for the sake of Jesus Christ. It's not because of our own goodness. But he shows kindness to us for Christ's sake. He says right here, fear not, I'm going to show kindness for Jonathan's sake. And he says, and by the way, I'm going to restore all the land of Saul thy father, or grandfather is what actually he was. And he says, and this is so good. And he says, and thou shalt eat at my table continually. Now, just to get a glimpse of what probably that meant. The life that he had had in the past, he'd grown up in the king's palace, no doubt, under the authority of the king, of his grandfather being king, his dad being the prince, and then all that was stripped away in an instance. And for probably the last 15 years, it was a great struggle in his life. And maybe even the provisions were difficult to come by. And then all of a sudden, the king David comes and he calls him up to him and he says, Mephibosheth, he says, not only am I going to restore unto you what your grandfather had, the provisions that he had, but he says, I am going to invite you to sit at the king's table. And it's not just one time. He didn't just invite him to dinner and say, okay, you can go on your way home. Now, there were some great blessings that were at the king's table that Mephibosheth was able to experience every single time. He says, you're going to be able to eat at the king's table continually. And did you know that that is the example of the child of God? That when God quickens us and He gives us His Spirit and He blesses us with His church and He blesses us with His people, it's a feast every time, but it's not only a feast one time, but it's a continual feast that the Lord invites us to come and feast. There's a great song, I can't think of it right now, but you know the one I'm thinking of, that Jesus has a table spread and His saints, where the saints of God are fed. It's a great song, and I encourage you to read it. But we get to feast continually at the Lord's house. And look at how Mephibosheth responded. He said, well, I do deserve it because my granddad was king and my dad was the prince. And by the way, I did grow up in a royal home. And so it's good that David finally realizes that I deserve this. No. Look at how Mephibosheth responds. When the king looked upon him and said, I'm going to show some grace and mercy to you. Look at what he says. David said, you're going to eat at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is this thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I? Mephibosheth said, I'm not worthy to sit at the king's table. I can't offer anything at the king's table. I come to the king's table and I would mar the king's table because I'm lame from my feet down. I can't come to the king's table. Why would the king show mercy upon me? Such a dead dog. Can you relate to what Mephibosheth is saying? Why would God have mercy upon us? Why would God look down and have any compassion for us? Why would He give us any grace? Why would He deliver us? Why would He help us? It's because it seemed good in His sight. But it's called grace. And it's called mercy. And He has it upon undeserving sinners as we are. Mephibosheth couldn't even... Now this is a good one for folks that might lean on an Arminian way of thinking, that you can help the Lord out. Mephibosheth couldn't even carry himself to the king's table. He couldn't carry himself to the king's house. Mephibosheth had to be carried. And do you know what? We have to be as well. He picks us up and he takes us and he holds us up and he delivers us and he restores us. Now, we're marred with sin. I don't know about you, but one of the things I'm looking forward to about the Lord taking me home to glory is that I won't have to deal with this old sin nature anymore. Maybe it doesn't plague you like it does me. Maybe Satan gives you a break when he's working on me. But I'm looking forward to being delivered from that sin nature. But even as imperfect as we are, did you know that when God looks down and looks upon us, he's not looking at our imperfections. He's looking at us through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why Mephibosheth could sit at the king's table. Did you know that from the waist down, he was lame? But from the waist up, you couldn't tell he was lame. And that's the same way with us through the blood of Christ. You can't tell that we've been such horrible, wretched sinners. But through the blood of Christ, we're made whole. And the only way that we can sit at the king's table is through the blood of Jesus Christ. We can't bring our own righteousness because we don't have any. We can't bring our own goodness because we've not accomplished that. Can't bring our own achievements because our most righteousness is this filthy rags. So what are we going to take? When we get there, we've got to be carried, just like Mephibosheth. And when we land and fall before the king, we're this lame, dead dog, like Mephibosheth says. That's all we can claim, except it be from the grace of Almighty God. But thank goodness, he doesn't leave us there. He takes this old sinful body, this old sinful tabernacle, and when he sovereignly chooses to do it, he speaks that life-giving voice and he says, live. And when he speaks that life-giving voice and says, live, it's not like that he hopes we will or he'd like for us to. When he speaks the life-giving voice and says, live, spiritually live, we live. We still have that old sin nature struggle as we go through this life. But we begin to relate more to heavenly things than we do worldly things. You look at some old saints when they get near the end of this life. This world's trifles really don't mean that much to them. You talk to them about the politics or the weather and things like that. They don't really care about that. They're more thinking about and focused on spiritual things. The king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertaineth to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land from him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. Now, he says, I'm going to give the land to him. They can till it. Whatever the income provisions, they'll have that. All of Mephibosheth's family, they're going to be taken care of. I'm giving them what Saul had. They can till the land. He said, but as far as Mephibosheth, my master's son, he shall eat bread always at my table. He said, as far as Mephibosheth, he's going to eat at my table continually. It says that he did Ziba did all that the king had commanded him to do. And also it says in verse 11, then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my Lord hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table. Now, look at this. This is so good. He said, not only is he going to eat at my table. You ever go somewhere and you feel like you're an outsider? Maybe you've gone and you know you're not family, and maybe it's a family reunion or a family meal, and you know you're not family, and you sense it, and other people sense it, and you feel like you might be an outsider. He said, Mephibosheth is going to eat at my table. But he said, he's going to be treated just like my sons. That's how we're adopted into the family of God. We don't deserve to be there, but through his adoption, through his love, we're his. And he treats us that way. We don't deserve it, but that's what grace is. Grace is giving us things that we don't deserve. Mercy's not giving us what we do deserve. And he has grace and mercy upon us. He said, Mephibosheth, you're going to sit at my table continually. You're going to experience all the provisions and the blessings at my table continually. And he says, I'm going to treat you just like you're one of my sons. That's what the Lord does with us. And it says that Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, and he did eat continually at the king's table. Now, when he's sitting there eating at the king's table, you wouldn't notice that he's lame. Might even forget about it. He said, for he did eat at the king's table. And he just reminds us, he throws this in on that last verse. He says, oh, by the way, he was lame continually. Oh, by the way, we've been delivered, but we're sinners. We're sinners continually. There's some philosophies that indicate that we might get better and that there's some measure of improvement as we journey along here in this life. I can't subscribe to that myself. Because we have this old sin nature that we struggle with. And I think whether we live to be 80 or 90 or 100 years old, we're still going to struggle with that old sin nature. We may experience more blessings from the Lord and have seasons that we walk closer to the Lord. But we're still prone to doubts and struggles and discouragements along the way. So, yes, he was eating at the king's table. Yes, he looked whole. And he was whole from what the Lord had done to him. He said, by the way, he's still lame. Now I want to tell you something. The good news is that when we get to heaven, Mephibosheth's not going to be lame. Amen. And whatever your lame struggle is, you're not going to take that with you when you get to heaven. Because you're going to be made whole. We're saved by grace here, every day. And we're saved by grace eternally. We'll be made whole, like unto Christ. Brother Richard, when you get to heaven, you won't have to deal with any more of those doctor's appointments. Bless his heart, he used to be in the hospital about once, I started to say every month, but it was every week for a while. You won't have to deal with any of that. We're made whole by the blood of Christ. May God bless you.